We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
It is 9:07 here at WCCO. Welcome to Center Stage. All things arts and entertainment. We believe you ought to know about it. Oh, my goodness. We have some great shows that are happening here in the Twin Cities. We want to say thank you so much to our presenter, which is Chan Hessen Dinner Theaters. Right now going on is Grease, now through October 28th at the Chan Hessen. If you want more information as well as on their fireside room, just go to chanhessendt.com. Again, that's chanhessendt.com. Wicked is playing through May 14th at the Orpheum Theater. Lone Star Spirits, we talked about that on Center Stage a couple of Sundays ago. That's through May 7th at the Jungle Theater. The Savannah Sipping Society through May 20th at the Old Lock Theater, and The Testament of Mary through April 30th at Open Eye Figure Theater. Well, I'm excited for this first guest that we have tonight. It's someone that I am just now getting to know. He is the Minnesota Orchestra. They call him, he's in charge of live, let's put it that way. He's the orchestra's head of live. His name is Grant Meacham, and he's joining me to talk about this upcoming year. Let's take a listen to this song by the New Standards. I don't care where we go. Yep, you got it right. That is Take Me With You by Prince and the Revolution. That was a duet he did with Apollonia, God rest her soul, as well. And that's the New Standards, performing that song with the Minnesota Orchestra. How awesome is that? And Grant Meacham is joining us to talk about the new season. How are you, sir?
I'm very good, Cheryl, and happy Easter.
Happy Easter to you as well. My goodness, what a beautiful day it was, right?
What a gorgeous Easter, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, my goodness. I remember, it seems like yesterday, that the Minnesota Orchestra went on that long strike, and that was in 2014 when it was resolved. And you guys, the orchestra really came out of it different, in a better way. You've reimagined yourselves, and now what is being accomplished is just getting better and better. So congratulations.
Thank you very much. And I will say, as someone who came to the orchestra post-lockout, the orchestra's in a wonderful place right now. They're just making great music, and it's just a lot of great people to be around day in, day out.
Yeah, you guys are having fun, that's for sure.
We are definitely having fun on stage. Anyone who saw Dessa on Friday and Saturday knows we're having a lot of fun at the Minnesota Orchestra right now.
Yeah, and Dessa, oh, God, I love her. I love her talent. She has many gifts and talents that she imparts. And to know that she was performing with the Minnesota Orchestra, first of all, is this the first time with Dessa?
Yes, this is the first time with Dessa with a full orchestra.
And it was sold out. How did the show go? How did the audience receive it?
The show was unbelievable. I think you'll see Dessa just brings an energy on stage that it's hard to ignore. And the show was written in such a way. Dessa worked with a very gifted arranger, Andy Thompson, who took full advantage of this. It was almost like a new toy of having the full orchestra behind Dessa. And she got her sea legs very quickly. You would think she's been doing this her whole life. It was just nonstop. You heard the word wow just echoing around the lobby.
I can imagine. She really is quite remarkable. You also work closely with principal conductor Sarah Hicks on season programming and developing new productions. And you have quite a few new things that you're doing. You did Men, Boys to Men this past season, correct?
Yes, that was unbelievable. And Sarah just lives in that world of pop artists who are working with orchestras. And she knows exactly how to pace a show like that and how to use the orchestra to its best intent. Sarah's just a great, I'll call her my partner in crime.
Is she the one that toured with Sting at one time?
Yes, 2011, Sarah went on a 30-city tour with Sting.
Yeah, I just want to get to know her, honey. You know, I have a crush on him. So this new season, when you're putting together a season, what do you think about first?
What we think about first is balance. We want to make sure that the audiences who are coming to see Live at Orchestra Hall can see a lot of different artists doing a lot of different kinds of things. But I would say along with that, if I could put another bullet point at the top, talent. Because we have the Minnesota Orchestra, which is 90 people who are just at the very pinnacle of people who are playing in orchestras in this country. We want to make sure the people who are standing in front of them in the solo position are working at that same level too. So balance and talent are really where Sarah and I start. And from there, it's looking at who's making music both in the Twin Cities, in Minnesota, and around the world right now that we want to feature on this series.
Well, you have got a great lineup. Of course, DESA just happened. The new standards, when is that happening?
The new standards are doing a show. They debuted an orchestra show with us last July, which was a whole lot of fun. The show they're doing this year is going to be a little different. It's called Score, with an exclamation point, because you have to put an exclamation point in front of the new standards. This show will not have the Minnesota Orchestra on it, but it'll be new standards with a lot of their friends who you're used to seeing on the holiday show. It's going to be John and Chan and Steve doing some of their favorite film music, and there'll be some live film. There's going to be some projections, and just those guys having fun and having a few drinks and inviting the audience along for the ride.
You've got Cloud Cult. What is that?
Cloud Cult, they are a band founded in Duluth, now based sort of all over Minnesota. It's this wonderful singer-songwriter, Craig Minowa, who really, you can tell, just loves the music that he makes. And that spirit, it follows Cloud Cult wherever they go. It's just some really gorgeous, really heartfelt songwriting. And I would encourage anyone who's not wise to the music of Cloud Cult, just get on Spotify and just start listening to the words and music that Craig and his team have put together. This is going to be another memorable night with the orchestra.
You make sure that you're reaching out to every community here in the state of Minnesota. You've got the Okie Dokie Brothers.
Those guys are so great. They write music that parents and kids can listen to together, and no one's bending for the other one. It's just great music that anyone of any age can like.
It's really incredible. And then, of course, you've got the December of this year, the debut of that new Minnesota Orchestra holiday program written by Kevin Kling and directed by Peter Rothstein. I mean, wow.
Peter Rothstein is, we're just trying to find every good artist in Minnesota and find a way to get him on stage. But the goal with this one, as you said, is try to really make sure everyone can feel welcome at Orchestra Hall. And no one captures that better than the writing of Kevin Kling. He's someone who's from Minnesota, who knows what it means to be in Minnesota, and I think importantly knows what it feels like to be in Minnesota at the holidays and what that means to everyone individually.
You know, everything lined up beautifully for this type of season to happen, this live season to happen. You've got the new renovation and so much more, and the subscriptions are doing well. I mean, the people are coming in, and your audience is even getting younger. You're keeping your base, but you're getting others in the seats as well.
And I will say, the audiences in Minnesota, unlike any other city I've ever seen, they love this orchestra. It's just on an individual level. They can tell you who's playing fourth trumpet on any given night. And just to feel that love coming from the stage and going back to it, I think that's what makes the Minnesota Orchestra special. Whether you're listening to the orchestra playing Mahler with Osmo Vanska, whether you're listening to Boys to Men with Sarah Hicks, there's always that feeling happening.
Well, that's quite a compliment. You came over to us from the Hartford Symphony Orchestra, I believe, and the Boston Lyric Opera. So, you know, I'm really excited to hear you say that. And then finally, I have to mention the Steels, my family. We are beyond ourselves with excitement to work with the premier, the renowned trumpeter, Charles Lazarus, and the Grammy Award-winning Minnesota Orchestra for this incredible show. Tell us a little bit about it.
Chuck Lazarus, we're very fortunate, has been with us as a soloist several times. I will say his day job, he's a mild-mannered trumpeter in the orchestra, but a couple times a year we put Chuck out in front of the orchestra where he gets to put on his jazz hat for a while. And as you've heard, Chuck is just an outstanding jazz soloist. Has a feel for the style, and Chuck also has a feeling that he wants to work with good people next to him as well, which is where we decided who are some great people out there in community working who would fit with a show like this. And top of the list with a bullet was the Steels. And I will say to anyone out there who's a fan of the Steels, even if you see the Steels five times a year, you're still going to see something new in this show.
Well, we're excited. This is happening next year in 2018, April 6th, I believe, at Minnesota Orchestra Hall. So, wow, it's just so exciting. I do have to ask you, though, about this Target Atrium. And you've got some amazing artists coming into that space as well.
And that space is, I've used this phrase before, it's sort of like a new toy for us. That came around in the renovation. It has this lovely view of course, Nicollet Mall is under construction. It's not as lovely of a view as it used to be. But once Nicollet Mall is done, it's going to get back to its state of loveliness. And it seats about 200 people. The sound in there is top-notch. And we do things like chamber music. We have a series called Jazz in the Target Atrium, where the great pianist and impresario Jeremy Walker puts together some of his closest collaborators for three evenings a year. People are really starting to talk about what we can do in this room, and I think we're still not quite sure exactly what else we can do. It's an ongoing conversation of this other jewel of Orchestra Hall.
Yeah, it was a conversation I had with Jeremy where I learned about the Target Atrium. It's so exciting. I mean, we are doing amazing things in the state of Minnesota, and the Minnesota Orchestra definitely is leading the way. It is such a pleasure having you on the show tonight, Grant. Thank you. If people want more information, where do they go?
www.minnesotaorchestra.org.
And of course, be patient. Some of those tickets won't go on sale until July, but it's well worth the wait.
So good to talk to you tonight, Gerilyn. Thanks for having me on.
You too, sir. Thank you. We had a lot to talk about tonight. It is 9:17. We're going to take a break and come back with our guest, Rohan Preston. You know him, you love him. He is from the Star Tribune as a critic, a theater critic, and we're going to learn about some of the shows that are coming to town. Wicked is the new show everyone's talking about, and of course, the Guthrie has Battlefield. Everyone knows that when it comes to Wicked, I want to be Alfalfa, Yep, I want to be her one day. And I shall play that role, even if it's community theater. I have to get into that green costume. It'll be a blast. We're going to take a break. We'll be back in a moment. All right. I want to make sure that I tell you a little bit more about the Live at Orchestra Hall for 2017 and 2018. They're bringing in, you heard him talk about Pink Martini, but they're bringing in Leslie Odom Jr. You know him from Hamilton? Yeah, he's playing with the Minnesota Orchestra. He's a Tony Award winner, and he's coming in November of this year. Singer-songwriter Rufus Wainwright. Had a chance to see him in concert at UCLA. He was awesome. He's coming December of this year. Also, the Minnesota-based indie rock band Cloud Cult. You heard him talk about that. But also an appearance by Cirque de la Symphonie, and that's happening in May 2018. I've heard about it, but haven't seen it yet, and I heard it's really a lot of fun. Last but not least, a Grammy and Tony Award winner, Audra McDonald, in a one-night-only concert led by the Broadway conductor and music director Andy Einhorn, and that's July of 2018. Oh, my gosh. I will be sitting at Orchestra Hall a lot for the 2017 and 2018 season. They've got it going on. Well, now you know what time it is, right? It's time to bring in our favorite lead theater critic over at the Star Tribune. His name is Rohan Preston. If you like what you hear on Sunday nights with his critiques and the things we talk about, check him out online at startribune.com/Rohan Preston. That's R-O-H-A-N, Rohan Preston. You can read all of his critiques and maybe even see a few pictures he takes every now and then. Welcome to CCO.
Thank you very much. You know, as you're reading that Orchestra Hall season, I was giddy as well, and I hope I didn't break into your broadcast.
No, not at all.
I was excited.
Oh, my gosh. They have an incredible season coming up, so I'm really excited about that. So, Rohan, you know Wicked is in town. You know I want to be I want to be her. Yes. Okay, so you know I love this show, and I know you've seen it a million times by now, right?
Yeah, it's double digits now, and it's a lovely production, just a fun production. I went with my 14-year-old daughter on Thursday to the opening night. It's here for another long run. I think this is the fifth time here, and each time it's been here for at least a month, and each time it's sold out. I mean, it's one of the now classics, one of the juggernauts, and it really, really speaks to a new generation of young people.
Yeah, and it's a great take on the whole story of The Wizard of Oz. So anyone that hasn't seen it, run out to see it, because most of us that have seen it will absolutely go see it again. That's the thing about Wicked.
Absolutely. Yeah. You know, and it's interesting because it's such a metaphor as well, because I wondered how it would land after the change in our political climate, political environment. And it was interesting because I think some lines are landing in different ways now. You know, and this is a show about people who are of different backgrounds finding out that they have a lot more in common together, than expected. You know,
when a show has been out for a while and it's been touring for a while, it has to be a challenge for those that come into those lead roles that, you know, have become famous by a certain person that played that role on Broadway or that sort of thing. Mm-hmm. And then they have to bring in their own influence, their own style to that role. How much leeway do they have with that?
Well, they have some leeway. I mean, because you really have to inject your personality into the character. I mean, you're right, though. They have a very tough job because if they've seen, let's say they've seen Idina Menzel play Elphaba,
right?
Then they're like, okay, I want to play it like that, but I want to bring my own accent to it, my own step, my own way of doing things. And my own personality. And I think that's a challenge that actors have everywhere once they once a role has been originated and created. I mean, you mentioned Leslie Odom, and you know he's in Hamilton on Broadway. Well, he was in Hamilton. His roles are, I mean, you know, the Aaron Burr, which is a character he played, that role is created in its image. And all the actors who follow him, like those who follow Lin-Manuel Miranda and others, are now, you know, just they're doing these actors' versions of these historical personages.
But you have to walk gingerly because you can destroy it as well. You know, trying to inject yourself into it, which we ought to be able to do. You know, you would hope that you would get a great review and say, oh, the play has been refreshed because of so-and-so stepping into the role. But there have been TV shows that have gone down, series that have ended because the character was replaced by someone who could not hold it up to, you know, into the light as the previous actress or actor did. So, is it the same thing in theater? Okay, you know, is it a make or break thing?
I think it can be. I mean, as we're talking about this, I'm thinking of trying to think of examples that you know. Well, The Producers is a good one. It's a little older now, but you know, Nathan Lane and Matthew Broderick starred in that. Once they left that show, the characters that they created weren't done as well. And that also has to do with star power. I mean, they are, you know, bigger stars than the people who replace them.
Right.
So it's, you know, it's a number of factors. You know, I think of something like the Book of Mormon. Now that show made stars of people and has, you know, it actually has continued continue to be original for a long time. So, it's yes and no. It depends on the show and really it's a statement. This is a discussion about the power of people's artistry, because if you can subsume yourself to the character and yet show it here and show there just a little bit, I'm sure people want that because. You know, you don't necessarily want a complete recreation, but you want some memory of the greatness that was celebrated.
Yeah, I've often wondered if it's harder to open a new play on Broadway with, you know, actors unknown, or is it harder for people to step into the shoes of someone that made a piece really, really famous and have to continue it on? Boy, that's got to be a difficult conundrum. By the way, the next time you get a chance to go to Broadway, which you often do, please stop and see Come From Away. It's that new musical that really talks about 9/11 and those planes that had to land in Newfoundland.
I want to see it. And, you know, by the way, it has a lot of backers from the Twin Cities.
That's right. That's right. One of them is a friend of mine who actually worked with the Ordway Circle of Stars when it was in existence, you know, helping to bus children in. And her and her husband really believed in this piece. And I cannot tell you, I went out there to see it. I'm still talking about it. It's amazing. So I really hope you will get a chance to go and see it at the Schoenfeld Theater. It's just fantastic. Now let's talk about the Guthrie. They've got a show called, what is it, Battlefield?
Battlefield. It's Peter Brook's Battlefield. And it's based on the Mahabharata. You know, he did that 9-hour version of that Indian epic poem back 30 years ago. And now this is an excerpt, and it's not 9 hours long. it's 7 minutes long, and he's touring it. Now, Peter Brook, of course, is a world-famous director. He's 92 years old, and actually tonight they had a talk back, and I think it may, in fact, be going on as we speak right now. And so he flew in from Paris just to be here for this show. He talked, I interviewed him and ran it last Sunday in the paper, where he talked about what Tyrone Guthrie meant to him as a sort of a role model, an occasional mentor, a friend, just as an example of how to do work that was alive and gripping and exciting and that captured something as well. So he, you know, 92 years old, flew in from Paris to be here as a Guthrie.
Ah, I tell you, that's it, hope. Seriously, when you're 92 and you can still keep being involved and working and talking about your work and that sort of, that's incredible.
It's incredible. It's fantastic.
And how long is this playing at the Guthrie?
It's only here, I believe it's for another week.
Right.
Yes, it's through the 23rd.
Mm-hmm.
And it's playing in the McGuire Proscenium stage.
My favorite stage. Can I just say that? It's
my favorite stage
at the Guthrie. I love it.
It's the red seats and relatively intimate. It's 700 seats.
I call it the red room. Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry?
I call it the red room.
The red room, yes.
Mm-hmm.
And it's actually a very simple show about sort of the consequences of war and a victory. You know, it features a ruler who inherited a throne after killing his opponent in battle. Mm-hmm. And then when he finds out who the opponent was, it's sort of devastating. I mean, he talked about how happy he was to kill his opponent and then finds out that that opponent is family, basically.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah.
Well, once again, this time in our nation, it makes sense to have that piece on the stage, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there
mm-hmm.
you go. It's a pleasure having you on. I just love it. And a happy Easter to you and your family.
Happy Easter to you and to your family. And I will be coming out to see you and your family perform.
So oh,
looking forward
on Friday?
To that.
Yay! We will see you there. Thank you so much, Rohan.
It should be fun. So,
All right. Thank
you.
All right. You talk to you soon.
Okay. All right. Bye-bye.
That is our own Rohan Preston. Again, if you want more information about his critiques, just go to StarTribune.com/Rohan Preston. We're going to take a break and come back with my next guest, Nate Krantz, in just a moment.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Yep, you got it right. It is Prince. It's time to talk about First Avenue and what's happening this weekend. I'm telling you, there is so much going on. Just like it happened a year ago, we are going to see so many celebrations of the life of Prince. And joining us to talk about what First Avenue is offering is Nate Krantz. And Nate is the general manager of First Avenue. Welcome to WCCO, Nate.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Glad to have you. Okay, let's talk about some of the plans that you guys have for First Avenue. I remember a year ago this time, it was incredible how First Avenue came together with so many other venues downtown, and it just went on for like 3 days.
Yeah, it sure did. You know, last year was obviously, it was such a shock to everybody that the whole event at First Avenue happened, I mean, to be totally honest, pretty spontaneously. And I think First Avenue just kind of became a place for people that were in shock and were sad and needed, you know, wanted to be around other like-minded people.
Mm-hmm.
And to be honest, that really hasn't changed. We constantly hear for the last year, I mean, we've always had a lot of people that were interested in First Avenue because of Prince, but since, you know, in the last year since Prince passed, it's just nonstop people that are from around the world that email us, call us. If they're coming through in business, they want to see the club. So we waited a little while here, but there's no way to recreate the lightning in the bottle that we had last year. But we wanted to make sure that for the anniversary weekend, when so many people are going to want to celebrate and participate in the event at Paisley Park, that we could open our doors and sort of recreate a late night Prince dance party.
You know, I think there were many who asked the question, will it be the same? You know, will we have that fire in the belly for the music of Prince this time around for the anniversary? And it's amazing. There are venues that are selling out. People want to do, they want to hear the music. They want to perform the music. They want to sing along. We want to participate. In knowing that, you're offering some street dances, right?
Yeah, we're going to have a block party on Saturday. Because we have late night dance parties inside the club on Friday and Saturday night that'll be very Prince centric and, you know, run throughout his entire career. And then on Saturday afternoon, before the late night dance. We're gonna have a block party that runs from 5 until 10 out on 7th Street.
Now that sounds like a fun night. Tell me about live music. Are you gonna present any live music, and if so, which bands are gonna perform?
No, we have a real special for the block party. We've got a real special band comprised of former, you know, Prince band alumni. They're gonna be holding it down really from 5 until 10 with cool guest DJs and speakers and things like that in between sets. And they'll be backing up a wide array of sort of local luminary vocalists who are all going to come on stage and sing a song or two and, you know, maybe speak a few words about Prince.
You know, he had so many various iterations of his band. And so you've got musicians that are performing over at Paisley Park and at First Avenue. But the hardest thing to do is to get singers on that stage that will present that music, because you are walking in gold shoes, you know, to try to fill. Seriously, how are you going to fill those shoes? Do you have any vocalists that are coming forward?
We do have vocalists. I think we're going to start announcing everything either tomorrow or Tuesday, but we've got vocalists that come from all sorts of different backgrounds, from rock singers, country singers, gospel, R&B, you name it. And you know what I think? I think people just get to put their own spin, because nobody can put on a show like Prince. Nobody can sing, dance, do all the things he did. But you can go up and you can honor him and, you know, sort of get in the spirit of things, and the crowd, I'm sure, will really enjoy that. So.
You know, I'm not quite sure if everyone knows that First Avenue has been the starting point for many bands that have come out of the Twin Cities, including, of course, Prince and the Revolution, the most famous, but also mm-hmm. the Replacements, Husker Du, Soul Asylum, Semisonic, Atmosphere, Brother Ali, yes, the Jayhawks, you know, Curtis A. So many others have come out of that incredible building, that historic building, and made something of themselves and helped put Minnesota on the map as well. Are you reaching out to them to come forward and participate in the activities?
Yeah, some of the aforementioned people will be participating. But you're absolutely right. And it was so great, like, especially when you can sort of mix the new wave of bands and get them together with, you know, the old guard, the classics. And, you know, I thought it was really special last year when we had the event outside on the day Prince passed, that Lizzo was able to fly in and do a Prince song and sort of represent the modern day music scene as well.
Yeah, Lizzo is really climbing as well. And so, you know, those are the hallowed halls at First Avenue. That's how musicians really see it. And I think people that come there really expect something special to happen every time you present something out of that building. That has to be a challenge for you.
Oh, yeah, but, you know, it's really on the performers. And what's great is, you know, because of the movie, because Purple Rain was filmed there, all these musicians, like, it doesn't matter what genre they are, musicians love Prince. And I think when they get in there, we always see them taking pictures on stage. It's sort of a goal for a lot of bands, like both local, to come up through the smaller clubs and finally get to headline First Avenue, but also internationally. Bands show up, they want to get a photo, they want to see the Prince star, they want to talk to people there about, you know, were you here when they filmed Purple Rain, or when was the last time you saw Prince, or whatever. And mm-hmm. so it has become sort of this center point, and the bands step up to it.
Yeah. How many years have you been there?
Going on 19.
19 years. How many photos did you get a chance to take with him?
I have one sort of regrettably not that good photo. He didn't come down to hang out and get his photo taken. He came down to hang out and watch music and see some up-and-coming bands and entertain friends or whatever. So we tried to make him comfortable in the best spot in the house mm-hmm. and just make...
And not the easiest place to have that happen, by the way, at First Avenue. It's a pretty open place.
Yeah, we had a good system for, helping out with Prince. So, you know, it was the least we could do to make sure he was comfortable and welcome at all times.
Isn't that the truth? Okay, last question. 7th Street entry. Yes. We know about it, but we don't know about it. We hear so much about First Avenue, the big stage where Prince was and all the other greats. But tell us more about 7th Street entry.
7th Street entry is where you start. It's connected to First Avenue. It, you know, it was at one point the coat room when it was a bus depot, I guess. And... what can I say? It's 250 people.
But will it be a part of the festivities as well? Will there be things taking place on that stage?
Oh, yeah, especially on Friday night. We've got a great DJ from Detroit, Moody Man, who just so happened, he's an incredible, legendary house music DJ, also a huge Prince fanatic. He flew into town to see the Revolution when they did the reunion shows at First Avenue last year, and he wanted to be a part of this, and so he's flying in and not only going to play music all night on Friday night in the 7th Street Entry, but I happen to know he'll be... Also, he's here to do the Paisley Park festivities.
You know, I feel bad for DJs sometimes because they like to take the music and make it hip, put a little house beat behind it. Don't do it. Tell them at the door, don't do it. We're going to all be there to party to the Prince tunes we know and love. Don't mess that up. At least that's my take on it. I just don't imagine it that way.
I hear
you. Yeah, it's a pleasure having you join me tonight, Nate. Tell us when the doors open and when it ends.
The doors for the indoor thing start at 9 o'clock on Friday and Saturday. That's both First Avenue and 7th Street Entry. The block party is going to run Saturday from 5 to 10 outside on 7th Street, and then on Sunday we actually have something for the kids.
Oh,
we're doing a morning and afternoon dance party for young people, so their parents can bring them down and, you know, get their kids into the Prince spirit too.
So the song "Get Off" won't be playing. How about that? Well done, Nate. Well done. FirstAvenue.com is the website. I'm sorry, it's first-avenue.com is the website, correct?
Yes, that is correct.
All right. If you want more information, just go to first-avenue.com. Nate, again, thank you so much for joining us tonight on Center Stage.
Thank you for having me.
All right. Have a good evening. Well, we have one more guest coming up. His Leslie Rich is the name. And I'm really excited to talk to him about this, this EP that they have coming out. They took a 15-year hiatus, and they're coming in studio tonight to talk about what's new and what's next. We'll be back in a moment.
If I want it back, would I always like what you stole from me? If the demons come with the morning sun, I'll be
You know, it takes a lot to get these black hips moving, honey, but this song does it for me. In studio with me to talk about this song and the EP, the brand new EP that's been released, is Leslie Rich. Kidder's Son is the name of that tune, and it is the first U.S. release by Northern Irish native Leslie Rich and his band, the Rocket Soul Choir. Now, Leslie moved to Minnesota in 2004 as a permanent resident and formed the Rocket Soul Choir with longtime friend Jason Wall. You know him from the Skull Cranes and Sawbones, and Minneapolis stalwart Peter Bolger. I hope I'm saying that correctly. And, of course, he was with Grand Machine, Dander, Church of Cash. Well, Leslie Rich is joining us to talk about this EP release party that is happening. And also, we're going to hear a little bit about how he is moving forward towards his citizenship here in the United States. Welcome to WCCO.
Thanks for having me.
It's great to have you in studio.
You
too, dude. Okay, 15 years. What happened? Everybody went to sleep? What happened? Seriously.
I was actually playing Irish traditional music.
Yeah?
Yeah, I was playing in a band called Hounds of Finn and doing all of the Irish circuit and the Irish bars around town and Irish festivals, all that sort of thing.
Yeah.
And then finally got back to my rock and roll roots.
And what drove you there, though? What brought you back?
I think I was just writing a lot of stuff that was just not Celtic anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And just needed some sort of outlet. And I said to Jason one day, funnily enough, sitting in an Irish bar, we should just do this again. And he said, let's do it. And here we are.
The song we just heard is Kidder's Son, right?
Kidder's Son, yeah.
And that doesn't sound Celtic to me at all.
No, it's not.
It's not. You totally walked away from that.
You know, I tell this story occasionally when I'm about to play this song live. When I'd be trying to persuade my grandmother to buy me some ice cream or some chocolate, yeah. She would always tell me, "You can't kid a kidder's son," and so that's where that
phrase
comes from.
That's where that came from.
Yeah.
Very cool. Well, to hear that you are writing, by the way, I just think that's a hit. As soon as I heard it, I just fell in love with it, and so. Knowing that you took a 15-year hiatus and it brought you to this point, it must have changed the band. It must have changed you. So during that 15 years, when did you notice there was a difference in what you wanted?
My goodness. I think I think actually playing Irish traditional music got me. So Irish traditional music, and here's a quick lesson. Irish traditional music, when you hear a traditional Irish tune, there's an A part and a B part. Now, occasionally there's other parts to that, but it's you play the A part twice, you play the B part twice, and you do it all again, and we're done.
So it's not the traditional A, B, C, B, A sort of
thing.
So
it was kind of like, verse, verse, chorus, chorus.
Right, right.
And so that kind of affected then the way that I was kind of writing, which was completely different than before. Because before it was a stream of consciousness type of thing. It would just kind of blurt out. These are a lot more sort of, let's call them crafted. That's not trying to blow a trumpet. That's just, these are definitely more crafted than what they were previously.
Mm-hmm. You know, I'm curious about, you know, your entrance into this particular genre of music, which is different for you. You have so much of that on radio sometimes. I mean, this is radio candy, this song.
Okay, I'm glad you
said
that.
It is. It's radio candy. I really like it, and I really wish you the best with it. Tell us more about what the song is about.
So Kidder's Son is, you know, to be honest, it's when you get that little devil and that little angel on your shoulders, and one's telling you one thing and the other's telling you the other thing. And it's kind of like turn around to that devil and say, I've done it all. You can't tell me that I can't do what I want to do, because I've done it all. I've been a liar. I've been a cheat. I've been it all. So you can't kid me, and this is the path, and here we go.
I thought I heard the word demon, so I did, didn't
yeah.
I?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I just wanted to make sure I did hear that. Now, you also changed up the band in changing your genre as well, right?
Yeah, that's right.
You know, it's different personnel. Only one, really, that really changed.
So Jason Wall, mm-hmm. I've known, oh my goodness, it's 20 years this year.
Wow.
I just realized. So I've known him for 20 years, and he's been a bass player in the Rocket Soul Choir for 20 years. Pete Bulger, I've known, I think we played a show together, actually. Before I had ever moved here, we played a show together at a place called the Terminal Bar.
Oh, yeah, Terminal Bar.
Yeah, it's mm-hmm. a bit of a dive, but that's mm-hmm. a fun
well
place
known,
to
though.
See rock and roll music. So I'd actually played with I think it was Dan. I think the band Dander was playing, and mm-hmm. I was playing on the same bill. So I'd been aware of him. And then he also played drums in Sawbones with Jason.
Mm-hmm.
So when we were looking for a drummer, Jason said, Pete's a good guy.
He's the one to do it. Yeah.
Actually, you know, Pete is was a real surprise to me. He's actually responsible a lot for the arrangements of the songs.
Oh.
He's definitely very vocal about, hey, we should do this here and we should do that here. And so now it's actually changed a little bit how I write. I don't worry about how the whole song is going to come together, because I really just bring it to the guys. And
so you're a writing team, really?
Yeah, exactly. So
and everyone gets equal billing on that?
Absolutely.
Oh, that's really incredible. No fights then.
No,
you don't
no
have to
fights.
Worry about that.
No fights.
Your website says that you just released this 5-track, 12-inch vinyl EP called Kidder's Son on the Loud Folk label.
That's correct.
Now, isn't this your third label? Or?
I actually, back home in Northern Ireland, I was signed to Immortal Recordings.
Mm-hmm.
And then with the Irish band, I was signed to New Folk. And Loud Folk is basically the sort of rock and roll side, let's mm-hmm. call it, of New Folk. So New Folk do a lot of sort of Celtic and roots-ish sort of music.
Mm-hmm. What's interesting about you is that as you move between the type of music that you want to do or whatever inspires you, you wake up one day and you say, I'm now here. Right.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden you move that whole ship that is you into a whole nother space with different people, different labels, different types of songs. And then when you feel like, OK, it's time to move again, you do the same thing. I'm just you don't hear that very often from people. They usually stick with the same band members, stick with the same,
formula.
The same, mm-hmm. the same. Yet yeah. you've been changing up your formula. What are you searching for?
I don't know. I don't know, just following the path, just going through the open doors.
Oh, so the doors are, you're not kicking them open. You're,
no,
the doors,
no, the
are,
doors
opening
are open, I'll just
I
go.
Believe in that. I absolutely yeah, yeah. believe when the doors open, you follow it. Although I have siblings who okay. sing and perform, as you know, and they will yeah. say to me, you don't want to do that. Not every door that opens, you're supposed to go in. But I don't necessarily live that way.
Yeah, I don't either. I always take the open doors.
Well, congratulations on this new 5-track, 12-inch. It's a real EP. You know, a lot of people try to get away with 8 to 10 songs. No, that's an album. What should impatient fans who have been looking for you? I mean, they've been able to follow you in different ways, but now this has finally come out from Rocket after 15 years. Mm-hmm. Will they hear some old songs, or are you going to stick with the new stuff?
You know what? We do a lot of old songs, but Jason is constantly complaining. Let's call it complaining. He's not a complainer, but complaining that there's too much new material. He said every week we get together, you've got 2 or 3 more. They don't always stick, of course. You know,
yeah.
We try them out, and sometimes they work. So the old songs are getting pushed away. I tend to do, usually throughout a live set, I'll play a couple of songs solo, and usually that's when I'll pull out some of the things that were sometimes Celtic, from the Celtic band, or mm-hmm. sometimes even older than that.
So there's a lot to expect mm-hmm. at the CD release. So you're a prolific writer, and I have great respect for that. I am a writer of one mm-hmm. or two songs.
Okay.
So I have great respect for that. So this is happening on April 22nd, this Saturday coming, mm-hmm. and it is your album release party. It's at the Acadia Cafe.
That's correct.
Can you tell us where that's located?
So that's over on Cedar Avenue.
Mm-hmm. Is it right off of Riverside there?
I forget what that junction is. Yeah, mm-hmm. I think that's Riverside. Mm-hmm. Great parking. There's tons of parking. It's not free parking, but there's tons of parking.
Mm-hmm.
The Acadia, of course, has some great food.
Yeah.
Some really good food. And so I just thought that was kind of cool. You wouldn't have to worry about parking. You wouldn't have to worry about eating. And then hopefully there'll be a night of some great music.
And finally, tell us about your citizenship.
It's a long story. I passed my test.
Yeah, great.
But I'm not approved yet.
And it's taking that, I mean, when did you pass, first of all?
I actually passed the test last Tuesday.
Mm-hmm. Okay, it hasn't been long.
But
right?
I haven't been approved yet. A lot of people get told basically on the day,
mm-hmm.
but it seems like I don't know why, but for some reason I'm having to wait. She told me June. I don't know whether that's
but everything right, about but you is unique. So I'm not surprised that your path to citizenship
exactly is it gonna fit.
The door's going to open and you're going to walk through it, and I will see you on the other side. I've been to 2 naturalizations ceremonies, and I sang at those, and it's very moving, very emotional.
Yeah.
And are you going to renounce your country? Are you?
That's what it says right on the.
So no
right
dual citizenship for you just yet.
That's what you have to do.
Yeah.
Apparently, so
I can't imagine you doing it. I must say.
But, you know, I'm always going to be Northern Irish. That can't be helped. So.
Well, we love it. I love the accent. I love that you are true to who you are. This CD and album really surprised me. If people want to know more, they go to your website?
LeslieRichMusic.com is the place to go.
LeslieRichMusic.com. It's a pleasure to see you.
Thanks for coming in studio.
I appreciate it. All right, you've been listening to Center Stage, All Things Arts and Entertainment. We just believe you ought to know about it. Want to make sure that you've received plenty of information about other shows that are going on. The Secret Garden is playing at the Bloomington Center for the Arts. That is through May 14th. Also, Lone Star Spirits at the Jungle Theater through May 7th. A Year with Frog and Toad through June 18th at the Children's Theater. And then, of course, do not forget about Grease, that is happening through the 28th at the Chan Hansen. The Steels are at the Ordway Concert Hall. That is coming up on Friday. 1 show at 7:30. I will see you there.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.